When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I'm your host, Blake Lovell. With me, as always, my co-host, Dylan Reagan. And we're back here with an interesting topic, Dylan. I guess you could say a timely topic based on what's been going on around the NFL, although college football has been involved as well in this recently in terms of players getting in the wrong place when it comes to gambling and some interesting stuff here. So we're going to look at the top seven players. We're going to kind of just go with seven players banned from the NFL. So we're going to look back at some of these stories. And as Dylan will talk about, some of these stories are wild, especially when you go way back into some of these. But as we know, Dylan, what kind of set this off was, and we've seen this in recent seasons, right, especially since sort of the explosion of the sports gambling and, betting being legalized in different states and all that stuff now. And, obviously NFL betting is not a new thing, but in terms of it being in a position where so many more people can do it legally, that has been an interesting situation. And so, what was it? I think the Colts had the situation, Isaiah Rodgers, yeah. Rashad Berry, Demetrius Taylor was another player, a free agent that was suspended. That's through at least the 2023 season, so at least through this season, for betting on games last season. And so, Dylan, as we're going to talk about, I don't think it's going to be the last time we're going to see players essentially, exiled for an entire season or perhaps longer based on betting on NFL games. But as we go through this list, yeah, I mean, it is certainly an interesting dynamic and one that I don't think we think about a ton, but when you have guys like this that find themselves in these kind of situations, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, there aren't in the NFL as many foundational stories like Pete Rose and the Black Sox scandal and all the different things that have happened in the history of baseball. And even in basketball, we have written some stuff at Clutch Points, and I know we're going to have a podcast pretty soon kind of similar to this, going over the same kind of thing in the NBA. The NFL is a little less well-known. I, until looking up these stories and going through kind of looking back at it, it wasn't really something that had popped to my mind. Obviously, there's a lot of cases of performance-enhancing drugs, other drug issues that players have had over the years that are kind of on this list. But yeah, a few stories that, like you said, you go really far back. It's been a long time since we've had players that have had at least potentially a lifetime, likely not, as you mentioned, indefinitely through this year. But there are indefinite suspensions that don't always get overturned, including some of the guys on this list. So we kind of include them within our banned list. But yeah, it's just so easy to access right now for sports gambling, as a lot, depending on the state that you're in. You'd hope that players would understand some of these things. I don't know if teams maybe didn't do, not singling out the Colts at all, but just across the league. And as you mentioned, it's pretty prevalent in college sports. There's a lot of stuff even just today coming out about an Iowa kicker betting on the under of an Iowa State game, which don't need a lot of people are joking. You don't need a lot of insider knowledge to make that, that bet. Nonetheless, it's just, I think just institutionally, everything's, you're talking about these sports gambling at a rate and a level where, it's different lounges and stuff at these stadiums are sponsored by different sports books. And it's just such in your face. I think that hopefully now what's happened kind of with the Colts and then, even what happened with Calvin Ridley previously, you'd think that teams would take a closer look at this and kind of know, hey, we got to take a, be really direct with the players about what they're allowed to do and not do. I know some coaches have talked about it the last few months at this point. But yeah, it's a kind of a crazy history of players that have been banned over the course of NFL history. It's really not a long list. That's what, I narrowed it down to seven because I thought it was a little more, but then you see some of these guys that were technically reinstated. Even one of the players or former players from almost basically a century ago now, it's on this list that technically got reinstated. He never played again, but his story, is one of the crazier ones for sure. In a long list of kind of insane stuff that maybe doesn't get the same notoriety, obviously, as the Black Sox and you know, what happened with all the gambling with Pete Rose on his games, and that's still ongoing. I know people are lobbying for him to no longer be banned. I know he's been able to attend Reds games and whatnot, but still kind of a touchy situation there.
All right, let's go through this list a little, because you're going to be like the, I don't know, you're going to be like the narrator in terms of looking at what the actual details are behind some of these guys. But I am just fascinating looking at some of this research you've put together on these guys, because it is very interesting, to say the least. All right, let's start with Art Foles. I mean, we got to go all the way back to the 20s here. And we're not talking 2020s. 1920s is what we're looking at here. And the 1925 Chicago Cardinals Milwaukee Badgers scandal, Dylan. This is what we're getting into with Art Foles here, where he essentially brought in some high school football players from Englewood High School, which is where he went to high school, to play for the Badgers, which, again, the Badgers were in Milwaukee, against the Cardinals. But he also kind of made it clear to these high schoolers that this was going to be like a practice game of some sort, right? And that, you know, wouldn't affect their status whatsoever. As we all know, that would not be the case. And that eventually led to him being banned from the NFL. I don't know why, but that eventually happened.
Yeah, the reasoning here. So I think the NFL was founded probably like 5-6 years before this, I believe, because we had the 100-year anniversary celebration at Super Bowl 54 in February 2020. So let's say the league's only been around a few years. There's not much going on at this time in terms of an organized playoff or anything. Basically, at the time, there's no postseason format. So they decided the champion just based on regular season standings. And some teams didn't play the same number of games. It was just kind of a free-for-all at this point. And, you know, the more I think about it now, maybe this is a curse that's followed the Cardinals throughout their history. I don't think they've won an NFL championship since maybe around this time. I know they obviously haven't won a Super Bowl, only made one. But maybe this is the start of maybe we do need to popularize this curse the same way we have the curse of the Bambino and different things that have been broken over the years. But essentially, yeah, he hired these players to play for the Badgers just to give basically the Cardinals free wins at the end of the schedule to bump up their standings. Again, because of the unbalanced schedules, it was based on win percentage. So you could just win the NFL championship by having the best win percentage. Obviously, you know, the manner in which he went about this, pretty hilarious, that something that clearly was wrong even then, but the fact that you could get away with it even for these practice games to be held is just absurd. Obviously an inferior opponent to an NFL team, even an NFL team in a league that's only been around for a few years, when you have these high school guys playing. You know, the first place was the Pottsville Maroons, which, if I'm not mistaken, I gotta look this up. Is that the team that became the Steelers? I'm not positive on that. I'll have to look that up. But regardless, they end up playing these games. I can't say he got away with it for too long. The president at the time banned him for life, Joseph Carr, because of once it became clear that he organized this whole sham of a couple of games. I don't know who was in attendance, what actually really even happened here. Luckily, obviously, the league caught on and this wasn't able to follow through. It would have been pretty hilarious if it was years later that they discovered what they're going after. So he had the lifetime ban lifted. At the time, there was another conflicting league that was coming up. But he never chose to return to pro football despite having the ban lifted. I'm not sure why it got lifted, because, yeah, this is a pretty – it's just a time, I think, of the league where it's just not on the level of things that came. And they probably didn't want to, you know, publicize it more than they had to, because, you know, Major League Baseball at this point is huge. NFL is – it's behind – you know, every college football is king for sure on this stage. And even then, it's a very different world than what we imagined. I gotta confirm this, though, that they're trying to wrestle this title away from the Pottsville Maroons. And I need to see if this, what team this became. Or there are quite a few teams, unfortunately, that have just over time folded, obviously. But yeah, I'll have to try to look into that. Maybe this is, unfortunately, I do think this is a team that maybe did fold, not the Steelers. I was close, though. They were in Pennsylvania, so yeah, they folded in 1929. Unfortunately, this NFL title in 1925 did not propel them to great success over the course of their history.
Well, you know, again, you can't win them all, and that was just, I mean, it's a wacky, like you said, it's just a wild thing, though, how it all kind of came together. And like we said, there are different ways to get banned from the NFL. We mentioned kind of betting in the opening, but there are other ways like this too, in terms of looking at just what a plan, right? Like just coming up with this plan and going that route.
Before we get back to our discussion, let me take a minute to tell you guys about our amazing sponsor, Factor. With fall just around the corner, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days of watching football. Let's face it, between setting your fantasy lineup and trying to wrap up chores before kickoff, we don't always choose the healthiest food options on game day. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle all season long. With Factor, skip the pregame trip to the grocery store, as well as the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality that you desire. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy, then get back to the game. I just got a delivery and tried the truffle butter filet mignon. I'm telling you guys, it was legit incredible and took no time at all. Head to factormeals.com/establish50 and use code establish50 to get 50% off. That's code establish50 at factormeals.com/establish50 to get 50% off. And now, back to the show.
So that's the story of our falls there. However, Dylan, we've got more. And, here's one that I think is very interesting as I look at this. So the 1946 championship game scandal here, and involved, and look, if I don't pronounce these names right, I apologize, but Frank Philchok and Merle Hapes. And so this is, I'm looking this up. And so you remember when stories, Dylan, were kind of news stories were broke on the radio? That was something, right?
Yep.
That was a long time ago. But way back when, 1946. So apparently what had happened, and you've got to go to Wikipedia for this, that essentially they had both been offered money, basically kind of plus whatever the profits they would get on a bet that, I guess it was, who was it, Dylan? Was it the, it was Chicago, right? So it was the, yeah. So it was basically betting on them if they win by more than 10 points. And there was also like another something else offered in there, I think, in terms of something else. But this is kind of a wild story too, and I'll let you kind of go into it a little bit deeper. You've got better notes than I do. But yeah, this was another one where you just have guys being offered money and, wild how everyone kind of gets involved. The New York City mayor got involved. Of course, the commissioner of the NFL, Burt Bell, at the time got involved. Just a wild scene there too with this one.
Yeah, what's crazy is that this game, like you said, they break this news and it's hours before the NFL title game is supposed to happen, and they just they just play it anyway. So, could you imagine if anything on this level came out now, you'd have just ridiculous amounts of delays. I mean, obviously with the amount of TV money, maybe they would pull through. They didn't have that TV money back then, obviously, and they still, I think, yeah, it's kind of a crazy situation where, yeah, two men involved in this that kind of, put the whole thing into play. Not like I was looking at the stats for a Frank Philchok here, the quarterback, had like 3 times amount of interceptions as passing yards. Wasn't exactly a superstar player in these in this era. He had made a couple Pro Bowls early in his career, but the quarterback position, just nothing like what it became with guys like Johnny Unitas and obviously the whole evolution of the sport. But regardless, he could have probably pulled this off given some of his numbers throughout the year. But yeah, they end up having this whole thing kind of put together. It's not like, obviously the amount of money, I'm not sure what $2,500 was at the time, plus the that they were offered to throw this game and have that Chicago win by more than 10 points. But regardless, yeah, they end up, the police end up announcing that they concluded no player had taken a bribe, even though the league obviously made its own investigation later to kind of obviously ban both these guys. Interestingly enough, the one player that did deny that he took a bribe to the league when they conducted their own investigation is the one that eventually was reinstated. The other man here, Mr. Merle Hapes, did not, was not able to make it back. He did play in the Canadian Football League for a bit, So his football career, I suppose, did continue. But yeah, I don't know. Interestingly enough, the guy that actually told the truth ends up being the one that stays banned through his death. But yeah, just kind of a nuts thing where and obviously ends up being a 10-point game, which is just right on the exact line of they needed to lose by more than 10 points for the extra money. So they end up no one ends up losing or winning the bets because it ends up being a just an even game there where that didn't go either way. So pretty hilarious. The six the stats here in the game for Phil Chalk, completed 9 of 26 passes with 6 interceptions. So just such an absurd kind of thing. And obviously they had player winnings and even loser player winnings back then, and it wasn't even that different than these bribes they're taking it. So I guess they were trying to kind of double up the money they were going to make. But yeah, just the fact that the police exonerated both players is interesting, but obviously the league found its own, was able to make its own kind of determinations here. Even though, I guess this went to I thought for a second, this man's name was Alvin Paris, that was the judge in the case. I was wondering for a second if this went to some sort of court in Paris, which would have been really fun, but no, not quite on not quite on that level. But yeah, just an absurd kind of story. There's more conspirators involved. Different people that were paid after the games that allegedly, according to this this trial that took place. I really wish there were some more firsthand accounts of the trial. It's just kind of an overall description of it that we have. That they ultimately obviously found that the players were guilty of the actions detrimental to the welfare of the National Football League. The suspension at the time applied to other leagues, not just even the NFL. They were suspended from all minor leagues associated with the NFL. As I mentioned, though, the CFL, a little different, so that you have a second career in Canada for these guys. They did not go back to the NFL. Interesting, they're able to kind of make it work out there. No, as far as I can tell, no no funny business happened up there, but who knows? Still the 40s. Things are a little bit different than they are now. But yeah, the fact that, you know, these things kind of happened and just have never heard about them, it's kind of crazy. I don't know if it's more so a reflection of the events not being on the level of some of the stuff that happened in Major League Baseball, or if just, you know, given the NFL wasn't at the level of popularity and the league probably doing anything it could not to have the integrity of the game questioned. Maybe they did kind of hush this up. I'm not exactly sure, but yeah, these are three guys that, even though one of them did get, Frank Vilchok did, despite his 6 interceptions in the games, get reinstated, did not end up playing in the league again. So all three of these men that from the past that have just kind of been forgotten about, I feel like they're stories that we need to have a revival of this. If there's any more information that's out there, you know, even if it's a 30 for 30 short, it doesn't have to be a long form one. I want some more information on what actually happened here, because still the details, it doesn't seem like the league and there was any like agreed to kind of final idea of what exactly happened here. It seemed kind of cut and dry, but yeah, they never were able to at least obviously get the police to find anything that was any wrongdoing in this case.
Yeah. Wow. Like you said, just kind of going through the details of everything, and there's obviously probably more that we just don't know because it's been so long. But yeah, that's like you mentioned earlier, kind of the nature, the timing of it too, is just such a fascinating thing when you think about when it happened and the game being played. And it's just, yeah, it's pretty wild, to say the least. All right, Dylan, some of these others here are probably going to be a bit more recent than the ones we've talked about here. And, you know, again, different reasons for a lot of these. Ray Carruth, someone that I think, you know, NFL fans have heard that name quite a bit. He was selected by the Panthers in the first round, 1997 draft. Great rookie season, but however, second season, I guess it was injury. Only played 6 games the third season. Then after that, ultimately winds up in prison after the murder of his, I think it was someone he was dating. I think, Dylan, I hope I don't get that wrong. But yeah, and so, you know, again, if you've heard the name, you probably heard the details, and they're not good because it goes much deeper than that. But yeah, so that was, you know, another name out there probably more recently that people have heard of, LeRon Landry. He came out of LSU, of course. LSU won the national championship in 2003. He was picked by Washington in 2007, you know, Pro Bowler in 2012, but eventually it was PEDs that sort of kept him out of the league. So, you know, again, Dylan, we've got, we don't have to necessarily go through everyone one by one, but those two completely opposite in terms of how they get banned, but those are two recent names, too, that people could probably remember in terms of the different ways they were banned from the NFL.
Yeah, the level of severity, obviously, of what happened with Carruth, kind of insane. He was actually released in 2018 after serving 18 years in prison. Yeah. Kind of a crazy case of it all. Yeah, he hired someone, like you mentioned, to shoot his girlfriend at the time, who was pregnant with his child. The child luckily survived and is still alive, as by all the accounts I was able to find. So yeah, kind of that's just a whole different level of just awful. Not something that, you know, I know when we wrote this article initially, people were commenting about Aaron Hernandez, and obviously that was a whole different case. Never actually technically got banned by the league. Things moved pretty quickly there, but these are cases that just transcend the normal cases of why people would get banned from a league. Obviously, not something that is usually tied into, like, as you mentioned, things like performance enhancing drugs, other drug use, and then obviously gambling or throwing games and or trying to manipulate results, like our friend Art at the beginning. But yeah, with Laurent Landry, I remember watching him pretty well, and I remember playing Madden with this man. He was a menace at safety at times before he had some injury issues in the middle of his career. I think there was a quote I saw while doing the looking over everything for this of Mike Shanahan saying he thought he had a chance to be one of the defensive player of the year candidates right before his Pro Bowl season after he got healthy. But yeah, obviously the PED thing, I think it just kind of snowballed. He didn't pass I think three tests in like a year, basically. I think the third violation in the league's performance enhancing drug policy, not sure if this is the case of currently, but at the time, at least, led to an indefinite ban, which he never tried to kind of lobby back against. At that point of his career, had been in the league for almost 10 years. So yeah, just a great player that, yeah, obviously we've seen players get, obviously, I don't know if we've seen in Major League Baseball a player get the lifetime ban from steroids. You get the first like 50 games, second time it's 100, I think. I think it's like the third or fourth time where you could get banned. Usually players are smart enough after they get caught once or twice to stop. Landry clearly did not decide to do that. So yeah, kind of a tough thing there, but something we just don't even hear about as much in football. There's a certain point, I'm sure, in the 80s and 90s where same thing with Major League Baseball. Steroids technically weren't illegal by these league standards. When you see some of the stuff with like Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa during the famous home run chase year, at the time the what they were using wasn't even banned yet. So I know there's a lot of kind of hindsight 2020 back looking at these things, but by the time Landry was in the league, clearly it was actually banned. But I know after that, we have a couple more players that at least that I also remember well, depending on how old you guys are listening to this. We had Justin Blackmon on here. I remember him more so for his Oklahoma State days. It didn't last long in the league. I think only one season for the Jaguars. He made the all-rookie team after being taken fifth overall, after, won the Biletnikoff for the best receiver in college football award back-to-back years. That, I don't know how often that happens. I mean, guys win it once, but obviously we have so many great receivers in the game now. But to win it back-to-back years, pretty insane. But he had a number of issues with substance abuse policies. I know he had a DUI put in, was mentioned in the description, and just kind of a, Jaguar fans know the story well of how he, kind of tried to come back. He tried to, I believe, sign with the CFL team in Toronto, but the NFL disallowed it due to his suspension, and just things never ended up going forward. So his indefinite suspension, kind of like a lot of these, they weren't technically bans, but indefinite suspensions that never were lifted, or they applied to be lifted and just weren't. And then also Rolando McClain, if I'm sure Cowboys and Raiders fans remember him quite well, Alabama fans. He was there the first national title season that Nick Saban had in 2009-10, was an All-American that season, and had a pretty successful career. He was eighth overall pick by the Raiders, maybe didn't live up to that level of being drafted in the top 10, but a lot of guys don't last as long as he did. Was in the league for I think 7 years or so, but when he was with Dallas, yeah, he was suspended for substance abuse policy violations. He got reinstated after one indefinite suspension, only to later be released again because he was suspended for another violation, did not apply for reinstatement after that. So two guys that, yeah, if you were college football fans watching Oklahoma State and Alabama, probably remember them from not too long ago, about a decade ago. But two players that technically are on that, still on that indefinite suspension list. So by our accounts here, still some of the guys that are banned from the league. I know there's two more left at the end of our list that are maybe our stories that are a little more interesting, or not necessarily you know, nice stories, tragic stories, but aren't cases of, yeah, you know, in some cases, or for both of them, guys that we're dealing with a lot mentally, than just kind of tragic stories that happened for both. But, you know, both guys, I believe, are at the moment doing okay. I know that Bernard Williams is. I'd have to look up for Stanley Wilson again. But if you want to kind of look into those, and then I can kind of tell some of the story as well.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, these are interesting ones, you know, because, again, these are guys that you know, looking back at it, and what was it, the Stanley Wilson thing, that was in the 80s, Dylan, I think. He was suspended for, what, 85, 87, and that was, yeah, I mean, basically the NFL drug policy at the time, yeah, not going to pass that in terms of, what was that, yeah, the cocaine situation and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, what was it, we talk about timing, right, the eve of the Super Bowl in 1989, that was the big game with the Bengals and the Niners, which, of course, y'all remember the catch there, but this was a much different story. In terms of, you know, basically the cocaine usage and those kind of things at the time for Wilson, was it found by his the position coach at the time, basically found him in the bathroom and those kind of things. He was doing cocaine and, yeah, like it's just a wild, wild scene, right? For the Bengals, and obviously they don't have a choice in terms of what they do at that point. And yeah, so it's, you know, one of those kind of just situations. You talked about Bernard Williams, I think, you know, someone coming out of Georgia in the mid-90s, and, you know, basically, you know, again, was a, I mean, every game player for the Eagles in 94, but then, you know, marijuana was something that was involved there. And yeah, just a wild. And then I know there's a quote you had from him in terms of you know, kind of the situation that sort of led to that, and, you know, his kind of coming out and talking about the reason he was using marijuana at the time. And it's a pretty, again, not a great story in terms of just look at the backstory here and figuring out kind of where he was at and those kind of things. So,
yeah, first with Stanley, yeah, he's still doing okay now. He's had some trouble after his career, was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. More tragic story, though, with his son. If you're a Stanford fan, he played running back there, and was actually drafted by the Lions back in 2005. He collapsed, and his son tragically passed away. So really sad there. And like you mentioned, the story of that Super Bowl, there was a quote that we had found of Sam Weish, a disciple of Bill Walsh and the Niners, but at that time the coach of the Bengals facing the Niners. So it was a big kind of moment. But Sam Weish has argued that the loss of Wilson for that game, given how kind of the extra edge he gave that offense as a dynamic piece for them, and in his mind, did contribute largely to the defeat to the Niners. Kind of I know the both times before the most recent Super Bowl, the Bengals played the Rams. They'd lost to San Francisco. First one, maybe more so as a surprise. This one, they were big underdogs. The Niners had won a couple Super Bowls, were just an absolute force in the NFC. And the fact the Bengals were leading late in this game, and just had a lot of drives. I have watched this game before, and got maybe some things where they just had to settle or end up punting when on the plus side of territory. Things that, yeah, you know, having him there would have potentially made a big difference. As you mentioned, yeah, it was like the last meeting before the game that he was found, you know, with the drugs. So pretty nuts story there. And as you mentioned, he'd already been suspended a couple times for entire season. So this was the last straw before his indefinite suspension after that. And then, yeah, Bernard Williams, you know, I'd heard his name mostly from, like, looking at lists of different teams, like draft picks that didn't pan out. This isn't necessarily exactly a fair description of Bernard Williams, given, as we put here, started all 16 games as a rookie, was named to the all-rookie team, was great at offensive tackle for the 94 Eagles. But that was they introduced the policy banning marijuana in 1995. So before that, it hadn't been part of the ban. And it was kind of his, as he kind of talked about, he had an interview with Rivals a few years ago with Georgia's Rivals site, talking about all the things he'd been going through at the time. His mother had just been diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. His grandfather passed away and had other things happen with his family, tragic loss of different members of his family. His father passed away when he was in high school. So he was dealing with a ton of stuff. And he talks about how he just really did not want to take pain pills. And this is a common thing. I mean, a lot of players nowadays have talked about this. And I know it's definitely changed in the last, I don't know how many years exactly, since the Josh Gordon kind of stuff. I know that was a constant kind of battle with him, and the league has gotten more progressive with, players don't want to take some of these pain pills when they could, have whatever it be, CBD or different types of marijuana, that to kind of treat the same kind of pains that they have from playing this sport as physical and violent as football. So it's crazy to think that it's just nowadays, maybe this wouldn't have happened with Bernard Williams, but at the time it was just a different kind of place and time. But he stuck to it. He did not want to, he talked about how he didn't, drink or take any drugs in college or in high school. And he mostly just, smoked marijuana to help with the pain. And so once he kind of picked up the habit, and, as soon as they put the policy in place, decided not to even apply for reinstatement. That's why he's still listed on this. One of banned players, the quote he said at the when asked about why he didn't apply for reinstatement, here's the quote. He said, "At the time, I didn't even really want to think about football, with all the things he's going through in his life." And he said, "It was a lot for me to handle back then, to go through, and football at that point was just kind of nagging at me. He's always good at football and liked the sport, but as I said, I was never really a football guy. Plus, outsiders had started to tug at me from different directions, so the sport became unattractive to me after a while, and I wanted a way out." So, for him, all the things he's going through, it's good. It does sound like from everything in that interview with Rivals that he's doing well with his life, which is, it's a reminder too that football isn't everything for everyone. There's a lot more that goes into these sports, and definitely a man that went through a ton at a young age, and found a way to kind of help with some of the things he was going through physically too, from the sport. He is definitely a unique case on this list, a guy that kind of stands out in a almost made a decision, whereas in some cases things happen where, obviously players that took steroids made a decision as well, but in a different way here, where he felt like this was just for the kind of the better case for him in his life, and it's just how it goes. And he still now makes this list of banned players, even if it's not as crazy as our guys. Great names, by the way, for the old school players that were throwing games and taking money. Art Foles, Frank Philchok, and Merle Happies. I mean, those are bangers right there.
I was gonna say, definitely the that group. It is interesting because I think we don't have as much. We obviously don't have the insight into that era, and so when you see these kind of stories like this that get people banned from the NFL then, right, like it just, like you said, you go back to the, Chicago White Sox stuff and the Pete Rose stuff, it's just all that kind of stuff. It's just interesting to look back at those kind of stories, and then like we talked about, more recent names on this list for, a variety of reasons, obviously some more severe than others. It is an interesting list of players in terms of ones that have been banned from the NFL. And like we said, there are players essentially being banned, whether it's for a season and such, betting being the main thing here most recently, Dylan. But an interesting list nonetheless as we look back at all these players who have been banned from the NFL. But, of course, we got a lot of other NFL stuff, Dylan, over at Clutch Points. Everybody know they can find all that.
Yeah, for all of our NFL preview content, a lot of fantasy stuff, go to theclutchpoints.com NFL section, also the Clutch Points app to the NFL section there. And we'll be back with our standard, this is a little bit of an outlier for what we do on this podcast. Usually we'll be back with more of our preview content, starting to look through different divisional previews, get our fantasy outlook. Always love doing that. It's good for content, but also just to help me actually start mentally thinking about how I'm going to defend my fantasy title, at least in the friend league last year. Mm-hmm. I might have to show off the trophy at during the beginning of that recording. Did not win the Clutch Points League, but gonna hopefully have a better go at it this year. Last year was a bit of a struggle, but yeah, all of our fantasy stuff, lots of previews, lots of looking at positional rankings, guys that are overrated, underrated, ADP wise, all that stuff's going to be out on the we'll have a fantasy football section in addition to the regular NFL section on the website and the app. And yeah, we'll be back with our previews coming up. It gives me a little more time now to get do some research on these divisions. I don't know, we might have to end with AFC South. I know that's our bread and butter, but not sure where we're going to start off. We'll have to figure that out over the next few days here.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. It's always an interesting ride through all of these divisions trying to figure out who's going to finish where. But as Dylan said, you can get all your stuff over at Clutch Points. Find it all there to get you ready for the 2023 NFL season. And as always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, any podcast app you use. Search for Establish the Pass. And thanks, as always, for listening to the podcast. And we'll talk to you next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.